This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
New from Radiotopia presents Red for Revolution, an audio drama about Black love, queer romance, and liberation. Join Jasmine, an 18-year-old navigating her queer identity while learning about her grandmother's secret love affair. Through her discoveries, we're transported back to 1971 to witness two remarkable women embark on a romance that defies all conventions. Subscribe to Radiotopia Presents and listen to Red for Revolution wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, you'll recall a few weeks ago, we spoke with the president of the NEA, Becky Pringle, and we always do well when we also hear from our sister organization, well, their sister organization when it comes to teachers. We've got the NEA, we've got the AFT, all doing great work, as I've always liked. I'm very proud to say my family's history with the teachers union goes back 80 years. And having been a member myself, having been a teacher, having been a building rep, this is very important. And this is, as we've always said, really the foundation of democracy in this country. And we're going to get a little bit into that with our very special guests as we talk with AFT, the American Federation of Teachers. Happy to have with us our dear brother, who is the Secretary Treasurer of AFT himself, our brother Fed Ingram, joining us from Florida. Hey, brother, good to see you. Been too long, man. How are you?
Absolutely. How are you doing, Reverend? I'm doing fantastic.
Good. I'm glad you could join us today, man. I want to kind of start with what I said. For us, education really is the foundation of democracy, because it was an education movement that began the civil rights movement that desegregated America. So if that wasn't us, if we had not done that, right, and those unions back then were segregated unions, unfortunately, and if folks had come together in the way they had, we wouldn't have the very democracy that old boy we now know was trying to dismantle.
Right. You're absolutely right. Listen, education in the Black community goes back as far back as before when, you know, we came to this country. But when we came to this country, I want people to remember that it was illegal to teach people like you and me. It was illegal for us to go to school and read a book and understand the very Bible that we espouse to. Those kinds of things were kept away from us for a reason, because people wanted to press down on the marginalized and on the challenged folks in society. And they wanted to keep a particular amount of power. So transfer that over to the civil rights movement, transfer that into 2025. Why are they attacking K-12 education? Why are they attacking colleges and universities? It's the same playbook. If you can keep and condemn a folk from learning about their history, understanding the true scope and breadth of education, then you can keep a particular type of power in your society where you have the haves and the have-nots. And so we want to be, have an equitable society. And that's why Black folks have always believed in the power of education, the power of reading, power of understanding. I could go into detail with our HBCUs and all that, but I'm hoping we get into some more of that.
Well, no, let's do that. Fed, let's go down, because part of what he's doing is chaos, is shock, is overwhelming.
Right.
But talk to us about what you all are looking at AFT in terms of what Trump is targeting when it comes to education.
Right. Well, his central playbook for the last 100 days has been to dismantle the Department of Education. And by dismantling the Department of Education, you do three things. One, you attack students with disabilities. 7.5 million students across this country rely on monies that come from the Department of Education. Two, there are 10 million students from working class families who would lose Pell Grants and subsidized loans. 85% of the students that are Black in this country depend on those Pell Grants. We don't know what the fall is going to look like next year with this whole dismantling of the Department of Education. It's a big question mark because this is the first time in 50 years that we've ever had to deal with this. And then lastly, 12 million students across 50 states will lose access to career and technical education programs designed to help them master skills and knowledge required for employment. So those are the things that we're really alerting the public that are critical in need, especially towards the Black community. Listen, the Department of Education was set up so that it can deal with the marginalized, deal with the challenged students, deal with our students who have these superpowers we call handicaps. And so we can understand how to educate them. And that is truly what makes our democracy different and our public schools different. We take anybody. We take everybody because we believe that everybody's got a shot and a hope and should have an opportunity for public education. But when you start to do this, you start to roll back where we were pre-1954.
Right. So let's break that down a little bit. Some of the things you mentioned affect those going to college. But for the things you mentioned, and let me start here. You mentioned those with disabilities.
Yeah.
What the civil rights movement did was secure civil rights, not only for African-Americans, but for those, it paved the way for the Americans with Disabilities
Act. Absolutely.
ADA. So people need to understand, even some of y'all who voted for the man, right, Fed? They need to understand that when you attack civil rights in education at the elementary and secondary level, and you don't have a Department of Education to enforce that, we talking about some of y'all's kids. We talking about some of his voters' kids who have disabilities. Am I right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, and we're not talking about, you know, students that, have critical care disabilities. We're talking about students that may have a speech impediment. They need a speech language pathologist. We're talking about ASD, autistic spectrum disorder, where you may have somebody who just needs a counselor, who just needs some extra supports in the school. We're talking about students that you know. I'm talking about students across the street who live from you, you know, your grandkids, your nieces, your nephews. In some way, shape, or form, there are about 6 in 10 students that need some form of assistance in public schools that will be served by the Department of Education in one way or another.
Yeah, yeah. That's very, very important, folks, to understand that. Now, when we talk about some of the other areas you mentioned and training, at the elementary secondary level, we know that's locally administered.
Right.
The Department of Education is there for enforcement and support and whatnot. What sense do you have, Fed, at the local level that these local school boards, local school administrations are going to resist the negative outcomes from whatever the Department of Education is going to do? And are you all working? Is the union working with local administrations to try to mitigate some of these matters?
Yeah, well, we are. Through our local affiliates and through our state affiliates, we're absolutely. But education right now is going to depend on where you live. your demographics. It's going to depend on how much money you have in your state, the politics of the governor of your state, the politics of your superintendent, the politics of your mayor. It just depends on what your political structure is. They are completely politicizing our classrooms because they are decentralizing and defocusing the federal government. And that is where the Department of Education served as a hub for civil rights, served as a hub to say, hey, you, Florida or Texas or Arkansas or Nevada, wherever you are, we will release guidance and give you some understanding about what you should be doing. Whether you do it or not is a state issue. But now there is no North Star. There is nothing to say, you know, this is going to be governors unleashed. This is going to be superintendents unleashed, because you can actually make your own decisions, which is not a bad thing, depending on where you live, depending on what your ideology is. If you're a poor person, if you're struggling, if you just lost your job and you're living in a challenged neighborhood, listen, we all know what happens to those schools. We know that, you know, that there's money that is targeted towards other places. And what we used to say is across the railroad tracks, right? That, you know, that we need the money to go to all communities. And that's where the Department of Education helped us to do that. But let me clear up one point. This whole career technical education is going to impact us in a way that we have not seen. What is career technical education? This is auto body in schools. This is where our young people, most of our young people, Mark, are still not going to college. But that doesn't mean that they don't have a shot at the American dream if they can get certified, if we can teach them a skill in school. Some of our young people still like to do hair. That is a very good job if you can get it, right? We're talking about some of these folks who will be in school getting this training, coming out as a certified, you know, hairdresser, coming out as a certified chef, coming out as a certified automobile expert.
Right.
These are jobs that they're going to be restricted from with career and technical education dollars not being funded in our public schools. Arts classes. These are the local musicians at our Baptist churches, or at, you know, these are young people who will be in the marching band and then go out and get a job in, you know, playing in a restaurant or going to, you know, do whatever we need them to do in our society. All of these things will be cut because career and technical education, 12 million students across 50 states will be impacted by this directly.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
I'd be remiss since you brought up hair. My recently deceased Aunt Helen Thompson taught cosmetology in the Memphis public school system for 35 years.
Yeah.
And many of the people today who are practicing in that field now got their knowledge from her. And that's real.
That's right.
But since you also mentioned many not going to college, I think we have to acknowledge something, Fed, and that is this. There's this, you know, Musk and Zuckerberg, the people who social engineer us through social media, are pushing this narrative. You don't need to go to college no more. You don't need college. And it's even, you have some who are pushing that, especially amongst the Black male community. Now, we're not knocking about it. It doesn't go to college.
Right.
But y'all got to understand, the same allies who support Trump, fund Trump, so he can do this, all right, to minimize college opportunity, one.
Right.
And then it's fair to saying, take away the alternative career path to college. Don't be fooled, everybody. So you can't be, I can't have it both ways. Well, we don't want nobody to go to college, but we also don't want you to get these career technical opportunities either. So, folks, when you see these conversations, am I right, Faye? When you see these conversations, be very, very careful. Don't let nobody on social media determine your path or your future.
That's right.
Right? And again, they're specifically targeting more and more Black men.
Yeah.
And Black men need to understand that, you know, you can't have somebody say, well, don't go to college. And then they're supporting somebody else is saying you can't have a career, a technical career either.
Right. They are taking it away on both sides. Right. And so we've got to be very careful as a Black community to understand and ensure the value system. And listen, parents have to know their children. Right. That is still an individual choice, whether you go to college or not. It's an individual choice. But we need parents there every step of the way saying, hey, listen, my kid has this aspiration to be in college and university. I personally push, you know, college and university, even if nothing but for the experience. You need to open your mind. We know what books do to our young people. We know what advanced classes do for our young people. It opens up the world to you. The more you have a broader education, what history has proven us and all the research tells us that a college educated person, you know, has a leg up in terms of the workforce, in terms of how much you will actually make, in terms of your net worth over your lifetime. And so those things we still have to continue to push. We can't listen to this narrative about you don't need this and you don't need that, because these people aren't talking about anything. They don't want you to do anything. They don't want you to have anything. And so, yes, they will tell you don't go to college. But then they will take away, as you said, all your opportunities to be a technical expert in something. And then they won't even push the mindset that you can be an entrepreneur. You can start your own business. You can start your own website. You can do certain things. Donald Trump does not have an education plan at all. It is all subtraction. It's takeaway. And do the best that you can while you're out there. And all while he is giving this money that he's going to take away from the Department of Education and these other government entities, he's going to give that money in the tax break to his billionaire buddies. That's what's happening. This is the largest, I think, takeaway in modern history that we're going to see in this reconciliation bill when the budget comes out. And all of this money is coming directly out of people's pockets.
So now, as far as the Department of Education is concerned, his plan is still to close it, isn't that?
Absolutely. Now, he cannot unilaterally close it, but Reverend Mark, what he's doing is defunding it, right? He fired about 1,500 people. He is stifling the services. And so you can't actually fulfill the duties of the Department of Education. So he technically has not closed it. The Department of Education is still a functional place, but it's running on bare bones. They're not able to do the work that they were congressionally put in. So in 1980, the Carter administration said we would have a Department of Education. And Congress made that happen. Congress put it in place, and Congress actually has to take it out. Now, we don't know what Congress is going to do because they haven't passed anything yet. So, yes, he is trying to close it, but close it by defunding it.
Yeah. So what we haven't touched on, though, yet, Fed, you alluded to it, how the classroom is being politicized.
Yeah.
They also want to affect the content of education and take away true and real history, don't they?
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm from Florida. We have a governor who said that slavery might have been good for Black folks. He literally said that, right? He said that there may have been some kind of internship program or some kind of skill that we took away that other folks gave us so that we can be better citizens in society. This is what the governor of Florida said. And so it is an outside playbook. These people are pushing this thing on a megaphone about whitewashing history, rewriting history, revisionist history, whatever you want to call it. They don't want us to learn about the rich history, where we come from, who we are, our perseverance, and what we can do. And so our young people are having a hard time in school because they're closing libraries, they're banning books. We don't have as many librarians as we used to have. We don't have as many counselors, and we don't have the time to teach that because we're still teaching to a test every day. People forget about that in school, but that's one of the other status quo Republican kind of marching orders that we have in our public schools. We need the time on task to actually teach the truth to our students, and we still don't have that.
Fed, what do we do? How would you, what instructions would you give to those listening and watching about how to mobilize?
Yeah, so there's still a fight out there. Listen, this is not a defeatist conversation. This is a conversation to ignite a spark in folks. Don't let these folks use our children as collateral damage in their fight to get more power. We are fighting in the courts. As you can see, the courts are still holding in a sense where we have multiple lawsuits against the administration. Right now, we're getting injunctive orders. We're pursuing legal matters that way. We are also fighting in commerce. Now, so what does that mean? That means that you see people protesting Tesla. You see people out on the streets trying to make sure that they speak truth to power. You see people, you know, get town hall meetings. Go to those meetings. Make sure that you are part of something that really says the value system of Black folks and our Black children are going to be put front and center. And then lastly, it's the court of public opinion, right? We have to change the narrative. Our public schools are still valuable. Our public schools are still necessary. And that court of public opinion means that we have to not drink the water from, you know, this administration. This administration will tell you that there's some negative things about our public schools. This administration will tell you that we've got to push our students to private schools or charter schools or parochial schools. And listen, nothing against charter schools, nothing against parochial schools, nothing against private schools, but the scale up, 90% of the children in America, including 95% of Black children, still attend our public schools. And so that is the system that we have. That's the system that we have to fix. That's the system that we have to fund. And we can't do it by going in reverse with our current administration. So we have to really get out there and fight on the streets. We have to hold true to the court system. You've got to get out and speak to your school board and speak to your principals and speak to your superintendents and then grab a teacher one of these days and say, can I do something for you? Can I do something for your classroom? Can I adopt the school, adopt the class? Those are the kinds of things that will help us in a small way moving forward. But everything is going to count and everything's going to help.
And Fed, we've done that before. Because a couple of years ago, or 4 years ago, we saw what Moms for Liberty was doing. And then people mobilized and pushed Moms for Liberty. You don't hear about them anymore. So we've done this, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, we can win this. In fact, we have to win this. We have to win this because we have to leave a better space for our children than it was for us. That is our goal. That's our duty. And that's our responsibility as citizens. And we have always had that, you know, my parents sacrificed so that I could go to college. My parents, I'm a first generation college student. Yes, and so I have sacrificed so that my young people are now second generation college students. But we still have a long ways to go. And as a people, we have come a long way, but there are still mountains to climb. And so this is our time in the race, Mark. This is our time with the baton to say, what are we going to do? And I'll end with this. You know, people always say, you know, you think back to the civil rights movement and people say, what would I have done with batons and water hoses and dogs being snapped at me? You know, people say, oh, I wouldn't take that. I wouldn't do that. Well, this is your time right now, because this is the civil rights movement of the modern era. This is our Bull Connor time right now. What are you going to do? How are you going to face this? Because you don't have to wonder anymore what you would do in the civil rights movement, because we've got it right here.
That's right. You're absolutely right.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display gentle reading light, and unheard-of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
Fed Ingram, folks, our dear friend, he is the Secretary-Treasurer of the American Federation of Teachers, doing great work. Go to AFT.org to find out more. And parents, stand with these teachers. Those are the best friends you can have. Those are the people who, when there's no budget and no money for supplies, they go and get it out of their pocket. That's what teachers do. And teachers that's not something they go to school to learn how to do. That's the nature of teaching. We leave our young people with our teachers for all day long while we're at work. And that's very important. So let's stand with them. They are the first line. They know what's going on in the classroom. They know what's going on in the schools. They know what's going on in the school systems. So if you want to know what's going on at your child's school and the school system, talk to those teachers. And let's stand for HBCUs. I almost forgot. So he releases this executive order, HBCUs, money, money, money. And when you look at it, it's a drop in the ocean compared to what we got in the Biden administration. It's a Trojan horse, and it's not really real, especially with what you're saying. You can't say, well, we're going to do some HBCUs, and then we're going to do away with Pell Grants and other things, right?
Right, absolutely. It's smoke and mirrors, right? He wanted to do something politically, to say he was doing something for our HBCUs. The Biden administration gave direct funding, $17 billion, one of the biggest infusions of our HBCUs that we've seen in history. And the Trump administration, no new commitment to funding. This executive order, $0 in the executive order. It revokes the equity-centered goals that we had in the Biden administration. And so it tries to replace it with innovation and competitiveness. And so they don't want anything that's referencing diversity, equity, and inclusion. So they took that out, and then they put in innovation and competitiveness. And then what this does is seek to expand the public-private partnerships, which we're all for. But there's a thin line between what HBCUs have to do to get these public-private partnerships. We don't want our schools selling their souls to some company, some philanthropist, some person that's going to give, you know, millions of dollars and say, now you have to do this or now you have to do that. And so if our HBCUs are so reliant on those private partnerships, then we could potentially compromise who we are as HBCU graduates, as HBCU supporters. And so we don't want to do that. We have to watch that fine line and protect our presidents of those universities, as well as protect our students and our professors who work at those universities.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All of this is very, very important. Again, folks, we invite you to go to AFT.org to find out more. And we appreciate our brother as well. And this is an HBCU grad himself, Bethune-Cookman. Amen.
Amen.
So we do appreciate our dear brother and all that he does. Fed Ingram, folks, AFT, American Federation of Teachers, Secretary Treasurer. Fed, we got to do this more often, man. And let's keep mobilizing people, okay?
Will do. Thank you, sir. Peace and power.
Right. Peace and power to you too, my brother. Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.